welcome into the Irish NFL show with me, Colm Cronin. And I am joined today by Shamrock Bowl champion, a man who had an Isaiah Pacheco-like start to his career, winning a title in his first season with UCD, Sean McVay. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Colm. How are you? Thanks for having me.
And thanks for taking the time. For those listening, I have gotten Sean up early on a Saturday morning to chat to him, and he very generously agreed to the time suggested. Sean, I suppose, I said this before on the show, but everyone on this side of the Atlantic, I feel, has a different path into American football. And I'm interested in hearing a little bit about yours. How did you first come across the sport? Or I know when I had Tom Telford on a few weeks ago, he ended up going along to training with a friend was his very first kind of introduction to the sport. But for you, what was your introduction?
My introduction is, I'd say, fairly common. So I happen to have family in the States, and they're living in Boston, so they're obviously Patriots fans. And so that's how I believe my brothers got into it. Then from then, my first kind of football memory was Madden 04, which is the one with Michael Vick on the front. And I still go back and play that game, like my PS2 set up in the sitting room. But that was my first kind of intro to football. Now I was like 5 playing it, didn't I? But I just love the soundtrack and I love the training camp activities, which they're kind of gone out of the new Maddens, which is disappointing. But that was my first kind of intro to American football. From then, it just kind of sat in the back burner for a while until probably TY in school. Then a group of lads started a fantasy football league. And obviously from then, if you're trying to beat your friends, you kind of get obsessed with a fantasy league. It kind of grew from there. And then obviously when you get Red Zone on the TV every Sunday evening, it's quite a good way to kill an evening.
I love on this over the past few weeks, talking to different people and the different versions of Madden that people have kind of mentioned. I think I was talking to Joe Kinahan from the Minotaurs that he mentioned Madden 11. You're talking about 04. Had other people talk about Madden on the Sega Mega Drive. So it's interesting, the influence of John Madden on this side of the Atlantic. And I suppose, talk to me then about in terms of playing with UCD. You mentioned last year what was your rookie year, but how did you get, I suppose, from watching the sport, how did you get the desire to play, and how did that come about?
Well, growing up, I had always played rugby in Gaelic. I'd done my undergraduate in NUIG, I suppose it's UCG now. Obviously played Gaelic there. Then for my master's, came up to Dublin. And at the time, I was kind of, I wouldn't say fed up with Gaelic, but I was just hitting that wall of, I'm going to training basically 365 and I'm still kind of warm with the bench. So I was like, maybe just a year out, try something new. Was probably a good idea for me. And then the only guy I knew up here and a mate from school was just like, come on, we'll go down and play American football. We'll just come to one or two trainings for the crack. And obviously got down there. All the lads in the world were such good crack. I mean, got such good fun out of it that I just stayed with it and just never went back to Gaelic then at that stage.
And did you go along with the idea that like running back might be a position you wanted to play, or did you go along with an open mind and you kind of, true with the coach's help, that's where you ended up?
Not at all. So leading back to Madden, I played with my brother. I was always like, oh, make me as a running back, and like a little 5-year-old. And he was like, no, you're too small and you're too slow. So I from then I was like, I'll just play like linebacker or something. Yeah, good point. And I got there and I was basically like, where do you want me to play? Like, where are you light on players? And it was either going to be linebacker or running back. And I just kind of stuck with running back for the first few training sessions, really enjoyed it. And it just kind of took out from there. And I wouldn't say I'm still cemented in running back. I'm still open to be flipped around the field. But right now, yeah, run it back. Do we?
Yeah, no, you've been pretty successful at running back, in fairness. And I suppose, talk to me a little bit about last year, because, you know, I obviously, having worked at UCD and known some of the lads and seen the journey for them, and kind of they'd had some years where they felt, you know, they were in a really good place, and then the disappointment, and then there was the COVID year. I'm interested in hearing about the season from your perspective, because, you know, it was your rookie campaign, and what was it like? It, what was it, you know, for you, was it just kind of, at what point did it hit that, like, you were, this was really something special, and you really had the opportunity to potentially go all the way?
For me, it was kind of, I had none of those demons that the UCD lads had. I was just showing up and playing a sport that I thought was great crack. First few, now looking back at my first few games, the tape's a bit rough. I'd say I left 300 or 400 J's out there, not following gaps. But for me, in terms of when we knew we could go on the way, probably after we lost to the Rebels. If we lost to the Rebels in the regular season, I was like, that's the kick up the backside we needed to really sort ourselves out. Up until that point, I think we were kind of counting our chickens before they hatched. After that loss, we really went back to the drawing board. Now, unfortunately, this season has started with that same loss, so maybe the kick in the backside happens a bit earlier this year. But yeah, last year was definitely that loss that I was like, okay, we'll figure it out.
And, you know, I suppose we have a variety of listeners on this podcast. There'll be some people who are, you know, really know the game, and some people who are kind of coming more into the game and kind of really getting an introduction into it. And I suppose, you know, when you see particularly maybe NFL on TV, or you play Madden, and it's like you hand the ball to the running back, and essentially, you know, the Bo Jackson, you're probably too young for a tech bubble, but you hand the ball to Bo Jackson, and he's so quick, he just, you know, it doesn't matter, he doesn't have to worry. And you mentioned there about kind of the, you know, following the gaps. Can you talk to people, like, you know, about, you know, in terms of the running back position, like, there's a phenomenal amount involved, but when you are handed the football, like, what is it that as a running back you are looking for, and that you're, what, you know, I suppose, just interested in when you have the football in your hand, for people who are sitting on the couch at home watching it but haven't been in that position with the helmet on and the ball in their hands?
It's actually funny you say that, because my parents came and watched the first Rebels game this year, and my dad was like, why don't you run away from people? And it's like, yeah, don't really understand how running back works. So pre-snap, I'll be lining up, and I actually look at the helmets of the defensive linemen. So if I have an inside zone right, so I know I'm going right, there's a lineman with his head on the inside shoulder of my guard, I know I'm probably not going to get in that A-gap. So I kind of pre-scan across the line first. Now, an inside zone's fairly easy, you know you're going right, so it's probably going to be right, or a cutback between all of those gaps. Now, kind of the bread and butter of UCD is that we really athletic linemen, and I would be nowhere without my linemen, but they're really athletic, can move, so we obviously run a lot of power and counter, and in that it's just patience. So it's a power right, we've got a guard pulling from the left hand side to the right hand side. I just got it when I get that ball. You can't have, you know, rabbit syndrome. You can't get the ball and sprint as quick as you can. You have to wait until the big boy gets in front of you. And from then, it's literally reading his ass. Is he going right? Is he going left? And then hopefully after that, he makes his block and you get a few yards and you get the pat on the back.
I always enjoy, I suppose, the fact that, you know, when you talk to guys who play the game, the recognition of how important and intricate, like, everyone is to the play, that you know, because it can seem, you know, again, in the media side of things, players get, like, one particular player gets hyped, but, like, you know, it, the the linemen are so important, and if one guy doesn't do his job, that impacts on everyone else on the team. And sometimes I think that gets lost in the mix until you talk to the players themselves, and you know they're always more than happy to share the love around. It's never about, like, you know, the individual.
Yeah, I think that's the big change. Just talking about like rookies and guys who are just new in the sport, it's the biggest change from Gaelic, rugby, basketball, any of them sports. For those sports, you could go out, do your job, you could have a good game and feel good about yourself. If I go out and only focus about my job, so I say I'm in pass pro and I don't really care because I'm not getting the ball, Aaron's going to get lit up and we're going to be bet out the gate. It's one of those things where you have to buy in. You rely on the guy next to you. You can't mess up. You have to trust everyone. So it's probably, of the sports that I've been in, it's the one that teamwork and trust is probably the highest.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's when you watch the sport and when you understand that, I think that's what gives me certainly the extra enjoyment, because there's so much involved in every play. You're not just watching the guy who has the ball in his hand, because everybody else is so involved. And I suppose, you know, obviously, look, last year, really successful. You then get called up to the Wolfhounds. How does that process work? Like, how do you get notified that, you know, you've been kind of called up to the national team?
So for me, it was after the Belfast Trojans last year, which was their second game. I happened to have a decent enough game that day. And it just so happened that running back coach for the Irish team, Jacopo Cecchini, I hope I didn't butcher his name too bad. My Italian's fairly rusty. But he got in contact with their coaches. So Mark Lawless sent me a text. Hey, would you be interested in this? Jacob will contact you shortly. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I'd love the opportunity. Then Jacob just sent me a text. Are you interested? Gave me a video call. Really laid out the standards that was expected. And then from then, it was, yeah, invited to a training camp. My first training camp wasn't the best. I had to sit a college exam the same day. So I sat an exam hunched over in a bunk bed. I still got a B on it, but I'd say that ruined my day for the training camp. So I'm lucky to still be there after that session they put in.
And I suppose, Sean, in terms of like for you, obviously now that you play, you watch a lot of film, has it changed the way in which you watch NFL games in terms of, you know, is there a lot more involved or just now that you are playing?
It's absolutely ruined that I've watched games. So now I have to watch extra points to see what the blocking is like. I should not care about extra points as a fan. Or like, I was lucky enough to watch the Colts Steelers last year. And I was watching special teams blocking on kickoff and kick return. It's like no regular fan is watching football like that. I actually much prefer watching games on TV because I can stop and rewind. So a lot of the time, it was the Colts 2 years ago. I just happened to catch a highlight compilation before Red Zone was on. And I happened to notice that, all of these players are basically countering power and they don't look that different to what we run. So I think it was about an hour or two just watching this like 40-minute clip that I realized all these NFL games have kicked off and I've missed like the stage of Red Zone. So yeah, it has massively impacted how I watch games now.
Yeah, I suppose it is interesting to hear that, because yeah, I Red Zone means that for a lot of people, obviously they're watching the splash plays. But I think once you find yourself immersed, it is things, yeah, maybe on specialty. And I will forever go back to the fact that the reason Terrell Davis got a roster spot was a special teams play in Japan when he couldn't get a plane ticket home. And based off of that, man ended up with a gold jacket. So he's doing okay. I think it was when I was talking to the lads, it was Thomas mentioned the fact that the American football season here kind of launches just as the NFL season kicks off. And obviously, you mentioned, I suppose, the loss to the Rebels in the opening game, but then you bounce back quite emphatically in the next game. In terms of, like, is there anything like different to your approach this year, or is it similar to last year, just with the experience of having won a Shamrock Bowl? Because I imagine there is a target. Like, I mean, I kind of talk to others, they talk about the Rebels and UCC and UCD being kind of the two, kind of sides maybe a little bit ahead of the others. But obviously, everybody wants to beat those at the top, and especially as champions. So I'm just interested in hearing a little bit about the approach this year. And is it very similar to last year?
Mine has changed. First off, yeah, I think a lot of people would consider UCD and Rebels that step above, but I think that's a bit of a misconception. We're going out to Cork tomorrow, and I unfortunately get to face Brendan Kanter's defense. And they're well able to beat us if things go to plan for them. Obviously, I don't hope that happens. But yeah, I think there is talent in the league, so I'm not counting on a Rebels UCD bowl just yet. In terms of my kind of prep and approach, this year definitely side of it has come to the forefront, and my kind of day before a game prep. So this year I've taken the approach of day before, load up on as much good calories as possible. I'll make a family portion of pasta bake and just mill into it for the evening. And that's basically all I do, just water, salts, eat the day before. Then the day after, I was never big on these ice baths or Epsom salts or any of that. But after waking up the next day last year, I made a conscious effort this year that the Mondays were going to be no lifting, no running, just recovery, just eat as much protein as you can, maybe get out for a walk, stretch out, get into an ice bath. So that's kind of been my approach from that standpoint. And I've also found myself, the way I watch film is a lot more refined. So last year it was all just look at myself and, oh, I'm class, I made two guys in this. This year now it's more looking at opposition, actually trying to find the weakness for if we play them again, or how we need to react to that front, or how I need to read pre-snap. It's a lot more nuanced this year.
Yeah, I know, and it is in terms of what you're saying around like the perception, but we've seen that like across sports, there can be a perception that teams are ahead. I think in we've seen it in a number of teams in the American football leagues here, that there was in a perception teams can be ahead, and all of a sudden that can play out and maybe they end up in the playoffs. But again, anything can happen, and unless you keep your focus. And I know you're talking there, I suppose, about the change in approach. And I know that you were there when the Notre Dame guys came over a few weeks ago. And in terms of kind of, I know it was only like an hour or thereabouts. Was there anything that you took from them and from hearing about like their approaches as players who are playing at a college level, but are almost in a pro type setup in the way in which they get to go about it kind of every single day, Sean?
Well, first off, it would surprise me that they were quite normal guys. Like, they weren't, I picture every D1 guy is this like Miles Garrett, 6'5", unobtainable athleticism, but they're just normal guys, and they're, to be fair to them, they were all lovely to chat to, very down to earth. One thing that stood out to me was when I asked a question of how did they deal with separating, trying to win that certain job and get reps, and between from being a good teammate. And they basically just said iron sharpens iron, which kind of stood out to me because it's like NFL is on the line and you're like, oh, I don't care. We'll just still go at it. For me, I would have thought it would have been a bit more cutthroat. So that kind of stood out to me, and it's something I think maybe we can bring to the ECD and the Wolf fans. And apart from that, yeah, I was just surprised to normal guys that just really approach it in a professional manner.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of interesting, I suppose, to see, because you do, you know, see somebody like Myles Garrett or, you know, Jordan Davis on TV, and see, you think that every single kind of player will look like that, and that, you know, isn't always necessarily the case. I know that, like, having had the opportunity to, you know, be at the press conference with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he looks, I mean, he's tall and he's obviously muscular, but for the premier QB in the NFL, you're kind of like, you know, with the guys who are chasing him down, it's like, given his escapability, I too was a little bit trying to take back, going, wow, this guy is not quite as big as you think. Maybe a bit like visiting Stonehenge. Just not quite as big as you think.
I think for the common armchair fan, we just kind of lock in on the outliers. I think it's much more like it's like we've Irish rugby players that are the best in the world. They're obviously going to be somewhat similar in like their athletic performance. It's a case of these guys have approached us every single day. They're thinking about football every single hour. It's football, football, football. And it's much more the game, and the athleticism just comes with it.
And I suppose, Sean, just in terms of, like, you know, as you said, you're playing the Admirals tomorrow in Cork. Even in terms, like, of travel, like, does the team travel together, or are you reliant on, you know, kind of the old school GA kind of get lifts and see who's available?
So UCD generally takes the approach of get everyone on a bus at the same time, and just, you know, it avoids all hassle of lads being late or whatever. And it's when you do that every single time, you kind of get in the pattern of, okay, we're going to stop about hour and a half into our journey. You can get some food, you can get some more water. And so that's the kind of approach. It's good for me. So I know, oh, we're stopping in half an hour. Let me knock back this 2 liter of water and not risk peeing myself on the bus on the way down. I'd personally be a big fan of going to buses, getting buses to go to every game. It's just easier mentally for me to prepare.
Yeah, no, it's just to hear. It's because I think the game has come so far, and I think you've seen that in, you know, I had Liam Ryan on a few weeks ago. He was talking when Liam first started out, like, guys are swapping pads on the sideline when they come off and on. And then last year, obviously, when you won the Shamrock Bowl, I mean, the playing in that stadium was pretty cool. And I think just everything around the league, and the fact that we're now sitting here, the league is kicked off, we're going to have the flag football championships, we're going to have a college game, Rod Woodson is coming back to do another coaching clinic. It's a pretty exciting time for American football across the island of Ireland.
It's a massive change. The odd time in the ECD group chat, they put up pictures of when they first started, and I'm like, if I was a rookie going down and I saw that, I would not be jumping to play this sport. So it is, the how far it's come has been really impressive, and I'm really happy to see it.
You know, I suppose, are you somebody who, you know, in terms of the NFL off season, do you have an interest in the draft? Will you watch Hard Knocks? I know some of the guys, when they were on a few weeks ago, really enjoyed Hard Knocks, but I'm interested in terms of you. Is it the game and watching film that you're interested in, or is it the wider side of things in the NFL?
No, I'd have an interest in all things NFL. Going back to when I first got interested in football, I think it was 50 or I could do a 5-round mock just off the top of my head. And I was like, no one needs to know this info. So let me tailor back a bit. Hard Knocks, I wouldn't be too big of a fan of Hard Knocks. For me, I think it would be too easy for players to kind of play up to cameras. So it has no interest for me unless there's some kind of good clip or anecdote that I can pull out and maybe just save it as a motivational piece just to have on my phone. And otherwise, then yeah, sure. I wake up whenever I'm cooking, it's like Colin Cowherd, Skipper Shannon talking about the NFL. It's just constantly, even in the background, it's constantly NFL. Now, to be fair, I do need to improve my college knowledge. That is something I need to do. It's a bit of a pain to actually get games because obviously each conference has their own China TV package. So I think I'm taking suggestions for NFL teams to support that I could buy the package and kind of watch their game.
In terms of, I suppose, are you a Patriots fan because of your cousins?
No, so the cousins are Patriots fans. My brother is a Colts fan because at the time it's obviously Brady Manning. But I kind of didn't really put any heat and invest in any team. Then when fantasy started, I was kind of more interested in the players than the actual team. So I was like, I better lock in on a team here. But obviously I don't want to pick a team that's too good now because that'd be a bad regular. Because I don't know if you noticed the amount of Seahawks fans that happened after the Legion of Boom. And I'm like, you're not a real fan. You came in when they got really good. So at the time, the Raiders had just stunk up the joint. And we still had Jack Del Rio. So I was like, I really like Derek Carr. They've got history. Unis are cool. At the time, they were Oakland, but I knew they were kind of thinking of moving. Then they happened to move to Vegas, and I was like, yeah, Raiders will do me. They're pretty good.
There's a sizable Raiders contingent in Ireland, and Steve O'Rourke, obviously. We've had him on a few times to talk about the Raiders. In terms, I suppose, of the off-season moves then and moving on from Carr, what would you like to see them? Yeah, I see you shaking your head. So that's not something you agreed with?
I'm a big, big Derek Carr fan. I think he's just been carrying a fairly trash franchise for a long time, basically since his sophomore season when he really took over as the guy. He's been carrying that team. That team would be picking top five if he wasn't there every year. Now, it happens that I actually really like Jimmy G anyway. And maybe with McDaniels and Jimmy G, there's chemistry there, maybe. But if I've heard rumors that they're going to get rid of Renfro, Jacobs could be moved. It's a bad time to be a Raiders fan.
In terms of that piece, I suppose, around, say, running backs in the NFL, and that's where it's kind of been interesting because there was sort of a resurgence in some ways last year, it felt, of teams running the ball, but it was almost kind of running back by committee. And obviously, look, the Eagles, their O-line is just so impressive and it kind of didn't seem to matter who was in the backfield. And you know, for the Chiefs, you saw McKinnon kind of have a return to form. You saw Isaiah Pacheco. But then you had three teams who had rushers go over 1,500 yards who didn't make the playoffs. As somebody who plays the position in terms of just your thoughts on, you know, what, like, we're in an era, certainly at the moment, or have been, it'll be interesting to see if that's the case again next year, of kind of the too high shell. So, you know, we're not seeing maybe as many kind of bombs down the field as we did previously. Teams are kind of, kind of digging and dunking, and the running back has come in. But as somebody who plays the position, where, and where are you at in terms of the importance of running backs in the NFL? Because it doesn't feel like, you know, you mentioned Jacobs there. It doesn't feel like guys are getting the big contracts like maybe they used to.
Yeah, it pains me to say it, but as a running back, if I was a GM, I'm not paying a running back. You can get 90% of Josh Jacobs in probably a day two NFL pick. It's sad that it's gone that way, but unless you're Christian McCaffrey, Saquon, those guys that can, you know, Lev Beckham, Lev Bell's Steelers days, those guys that can catch, run, and even durability is a big concern. You know, Derrick Henry, it's kind of the running back clock is ticking on him. So it's like, how much time does he have left? Like, you're not going to see many running backs get to 30. I believe it was it Raheem Mostert down in Miami? He got a big contract at 30, and it was like, that's a crazy move for an NFL running back. And you mentioned committee. I would personally, that's how I like actual teams to run with a committee. I think it's the smartest way to approach it. You keep everyone healthy, you keep everyone fresh. It's just the smartest thing to do. But obviously, come playoff time, then you're not taking Derrick Henry out in the backfield.
Yeah, it will be kind of interesting to see, I suppose, how it develops over the next few years, because it's always, you know, reactive league, right? So there'll be a reaction to this new high safety shell. We'll see, we'll kind of see what happens there. And yeah, and I know you don't watch too much college football, but you're probably aware of Bijan Robinson. And in terms of, you said if you were a GM, you wouldn't give a running back a big contract. But if you were an NFL GM, how high would you be prepared to draft somebody like him?
It depends on how my team's set up. So I wouldn't pay a running back, but I'd certainly pick on the first round of a draft so I could get that 50-year option. I think if you have a good line, there's nowhere too high to draft Bijan Robinson. I mean, we saw what Saquon did with a garbage line in New York. So I'd be willing to take him top 10. I saw a good comparison of his like college stats with Saquon, and it's slightly better for Bijan. So yeah, I'm pretty sure I'd be okay taking him top 10.
Yeah, no, we had Sam Monson on during the week, and he kind of felt, yeah, potentially for the right team. Now, whether you'd end up giving him that second deal, who knows? But particularly for those first kind of 4 or 5 years, what a player you would have on your hands. Sean, I want to say thanks to you for taking the time to chat to me today, and I want to wish you all the best for the remainder of the season, as you know, you look to retain the Shamrock Bowl, but there's a long way to go. But hopefully you know all the best, and enjoy the fixtures that are remaining.
Many thanks, Callum, and thanks a million from your side. Any coverage that you do of the game, be it domestic, internationally, a massive boon to kind of the interest of the game. You know, I'll probably share this, UCD will share this, someone else will share this, and if two people start playing the sport, then it's all worth it. So many thanks for the coverage that you give the game.
Well, I'm a fan who wants people to get involved and wants to get eyes on it, and I think it's you know, kudos to all those involved in American Football Ireland. I think they've done a really fantastic job helping to grow the sport. It's great to see. Kudos to Shane Brennan, who I had on the podcast a few weeks ago. It's great to see it get national coverage, and I'm sure that was nice for you. The Monday after the last game to see your name in the Independent after a good game. But I think that makes a difference. You know, people are, it raises the awareness level, and hopefully helps to get more people involved. And I also think on the flag side of things, the fact that, you know, you can get people involved who maybe don't want to get in the padded side. I really think that the future is bright for this great sport that we all love.
Yeah, flag certainly. I think there's no reason it shouldn't grow. Flag can just be a group of lads just going out throwing a ball. It can be, especially colleges, just make it, just go and meet your friends. And then eventually, if there's enough interest, then it can be like, maybe we should start a kitted team. Hopefully we see the growth that I think can happen, and fingers crossed.